Let me first of all welcome you and say thank you for taking some time to hear about some creative new ways to use patient health information. My name is Ralph Donaldson. I'm with PRISM Health Services. We are based out of Atlanta, Georgia, and we're very excited to be here with you today. I am the moderator for today, and I have a few speakers that are probably trying to find us in the bowels of the Grand Hyatt. Although it's a beautiful facility, I must admit, it took a while to figure out where we were and how to get here, so I wouldn't be surprised. But the first topic we're going to talk about today is PHI interoperability to improve consumer and population health. I do not have any conflicts of interest to disclose, and this is a very fun topic for me. It's near and dear to my heart. But we're going to start off with some basic things. We're going to talk about what PHI is and what it's not. Then I'm going to talk about a perfect storm. We're going to talk about some marketplace observations. We're going to take some practical looks and uses of PHI information today and in the future. And we're going to talk about how it can be used in our technology tools of the future. So with no further ado, we'll get right into it. For the personal health information, the definition there is very clear. PHI is personal health information that is truly entered by the patient. It does include some clinical information, but it is by no means a substitute for a clinical EMR or electronic health record. And I want to bring that out because sometimes in the marketplace and with consumers and with people not around it, there's a confusion between PHI and EHR and the thought that a PHI is going to replace an EHR, electronic health record, or is the same as an electronic health record. They're two separate things. They do stem from and have some common data points, but they are two separate things. The PHR record has some very good uses in the marketplace and how we can approach it for a consumer. Things like health assessments, things like medication history and tracking, discharge tracking, remote case management, remote monitoring and alerting. Some of those features and functions can be used by using PHI information. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. But some of the specific data elements that you typically have around PHI include things like your weight, your blood pressure, blood sugar for individuals that are monitoring your diabetics, cholesterol, triglycerides, and so forth. But those are data enterable aspects from the patient themselves. But we're going to talk about how the PHR record and PHI information is going to be very practical to all of us as our future evolves. Now I'm going to talk to you about the perfect storm. I call it a perfect storm, and it's somewhat similar to what Senator Daschle mentioned yesterday in the opening statements. Right now, we really have a perfect storm between healthcare reform, providers, consumers, and technology advancements that's going to allow us to really embrace and take on new uses and new meanings behind consumer care. I'm not going to drill all these bullets, but between Senator Tom Daschle's speech yesterday in the opening session and some of the key points here, we can easily see that there is going to be a transformation of healthcare that's going on in this nation. I will ask you to focus on this, and I'll ask a question of the group, and you can respond. How many of you guys have a cell phone today? Okay. Everybody in the room, raise their hand. How many of you guys have a smartphone today? About almost half, raise their hand. And I only bring that out because I've done this discussion in different parts of the country. And when I ask the question about a cell phone, I always get 100% hand go up. When I get smartphones, about 50%. And the reason why that's important is that we as a society have become very accustomed to being very connected, very in touch, very aware of our technology presence. We may all have different levels of technology understanding, how to use technology, but we're all connected and we're used to it. And so where I'm going with that is that the use of patient health information, because of our technology prowess that this society has now and the technology enablement programs that are available now through broadband, through notepads, through laptops and smartphones, all of that's going to come together to allow us to use PHI like we've never used it before. This is an eye chart. You probably didn't think you're going to have an eye test today, but I simply wanted to put this in to give you some background and a little bit of facts around what's out there in the marketplace. I'm going to bring your attention to the far right column, which talks about the observations for the PHR health market. For some of the observations that's really critical and important there, well, the first one's kind of a fun one, and I always use this one, is mobile patient health records is going to be very similar to drinking bottled water. A decade ago, drinking bottled water was not necessarily the norm. In today's society, it is the norm. and having bottled water is something we always do. We don't even think about it. We just go and do it. Matter of fact, we got vitamin water and all kind of flavored waters now. But where I'm going with it is mobile patient health records is going to become like bottled water for us. We may not think about it that way today, but 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 7 years from now, it will become a new norm for us. The other key thing to think about when you think about patient health records and the information associated with it is that there is a lot of hype out there around how to use patient health information, how consumers are going to use it. But healthcare systems, health delivery systems really haven't figured out how to use it. And there's still some focus on how will we use patient health records, how will we get the value out of it, will it be practical, will it be trustworthy, are there quality concerns, and all that has to be figured out. And there is some work that is going on now with different health delivery systems to kind of figure those pieces out. The other interesting note around this is in terms of the focus on the mobile market, in terms of mobility, the expectation is by 2015, smartphone sales are going to surpass 1 billion units and account for over 49% of the whole mobile market. And so when we look at how patient health information will become dispersed and how we will use it over and over again, as our technology devices mature, broadband capabilities mature, our own use of technology matures, using PHI in a way that we don't even think about using today will come more of obvious to us and more available to us. Now, there are three core uses for patient health information that I'm going to talk about with you today. One of them is around care coordination, and that's really been the primary focus area for how PHI could be used, is what can we do around care coordination, coordinating the care between the primary care provider, the specialist, the pharmacist, family caregivers, and the like. The second area is around health emergency and disaster preparedness. And this is going to be an interesting topic because this is one of those that I think it was a light bulb that came on that said, you know what, PHR and information will be a great way to help deal with patient emergencies, health emergencies, especially in disaster or natural disasters or any kind of health emergency altogether. And then the third area is around population health. And that's a lot of population health is near and dear to all of our hearts in terms of what we do. But in terms of the use of patient health information, we're going to talk a little bit about that as well in that vein. We do recognize that for population health, there is some critics out there that will come and say, you know, patient health information is user-entered information, and the quality of that data is only as good as the person who entered it, and that's a true statement. But I think the value we're going to begin to talk about and see is that you're still going to have a new data source that's coming in, a new data source that will give you information and available data points about patients in the local communities that you don't have today in a very easily dispersible format. So let me talk about the first method, which is around care coordination. You all have probably heard about patient-centered coordinated care. This is a model that is being talked about and discussed. This particular model definitely uses patient health information. This particular slide kind of gives you four steps around how a typical process goes, and I'll go over it briefly. The first step is typically the patient actually goes and talks to their physician. They leave their physician office, typically with some kind of medication. They go and talk to a pharmacist, and that's all kind of what's going on in step one. Then in step two, you've got your primary care physician, maybe a feedback meeting with them or an appointment with them, and you've got a specialist you may be going to and talking to. And then you go into step three. Once you finish talking to your specialist and doing your follow-up, now you actually have a plan you got to follow. You have to go through a tracking process and actually have your data about what you're doing in terms of your meds you're taking and following, maybe some rehabilitative activities you got to do. Those actual things are going on. And then the fourth is the actual continuum of care, and that's really being in a position to work with all of the specialists and all the care providers with you and around you. Those four steps can all be empowered by sharing patient health information. And that's what's new. That's where there are some critics, there are some that agree that it can be helpful, but the point of the matter is this is going to be a new data source that we all will have, just like we have ATM cards. If I was to ask who has an ATM card, probably every hand would go up in the room. You probably didn't think about having an ATM card 15, 20 years ago, or a debit card 7 years ago. But you have them. And this is going to become a very important component to the healthcare delivery system. It's almost like if you're a retailer, excuse me, if you're a retailer and you don't accept Visa or MasterCard or American Express, you just accept cash. Well, you can do business that way, but it's going to be kind of difficult because you're going to have a lot of consumers that expect to use this other method. Same situation with providers and health delivery systems. They may not want to accept patient health information or view it as a critical data source, but they're going to have to begin and embrace it and view it as a way of working in the future because it's going to become too profound and too prevalent in the marketplace. The second area of focus is around health emergency and disaster preparedness. I was fortunate enough to be part of a 7-state consortium that was looking at issues with how do you provide health information to individuals that are in a disaster or have been displaced because of a disaster. A lot of this work came out of some of the work, the issues with Katrina and some of the situations in Louisiana and the neighboring states, Mississippi and Texas. So the 7 states got together and said, we've got to figure out a way to share health information in a disaster to protect the citizens, to protect life, and to avoid misfortune. And so one of the funny outcomes of that was the aha moment that a PHR record that the patient would have would be probably the best and most effective source of data to share. And you would say, well, what about all the health delivery systems and the Medicaid systems and the payers and the pharmaceutical hub? What about all that? So that's great, but if they're not connected, if they're damaged because of the disaster, if you don't have any kind of DRSA or data exchange sharing agreements in place in advance, what do you do? And a lot of that came out of the fact that what if we have to prepare for a disaster that happens 2 weeks from now? We don't have time to put this infrastructure in place technology-wise. But if our citizens have patient health records, which can be available and sent in, that'd be great. Now, in terms of patient health records today, a lot of you probably have them and don't know you have them. A lot of the big payers, Blue Cross Blue Shield and Aetna and Cigna, they actually have a portal where their beneficiaries have a patient health record. They may not be using it. They may not be accessing it. They may not even care about it. But they have it. And so one of the things, and we refer to that in discussion, is just kind of a tethered PHR. But in terms of having a tethered PHR, you do have that available to you. And in disaster, one of the things that the group is looking at is making sure citizens would have that access to their tethered PHR, which is typically web-based, and they could share that with their doctor. And the PHR is important for this matter. If you're looking to, in a disaster or a health emergency, if you need to provide care, when we surveyed and talked to doctors, doctors typically want to know vital things about you. What meds have you been taking? What allergies you have? What have you been diagnosed with? But just basic core things. They don't necessarily need to know all your labs. They necessarily need to know all of the depth about your patient history, but they do need to know some critical things, your med history, what you're allergic to, and what you've been diagnosed with. And if you have any kind of behavioral health issues, that's important too. When you think of providing services to someone who's coming in of a disaster, be it a natural disaster or man-made disaster, whatever it is, but the point that is important to consider there is that patient health record can be used as a method to share the data. And you might say, well, what if my patient health record is on my smartphone? Well, and my smartphone is lost. Well, that can happen. But a lot of the PHR record services that are coming out in the marketplace, they will keep your data for you. They will keep it for you in a secure location, and it's web-based. So it can follow you versus you having to be mindful in keeping it with you. So if you do lose your cell phone or you lose your laptop because of a disaster, as when you are positioned in a place of stability, you can access the internet and you can get your patient health record and go get your meds or go see a doctor or do what needs to happen. But that's also another way where PHI information can be helpful to individuals in a disaster or any other kind of man-made situation. Third area is around public and population health. I specifically picked this picture a little bit, so I'm gonna drain it just a moment. This particular picture is important because I wanted you to see the fusion of the bringing together the clinical work that goes on in our healthcare system, as well as the population and public health that goes on. Because what we're starting to see is that our patient health information can serve truly two purposes. It can serve the clinical side, which we talked about under care coordination and being a great data source in the wake of a disaster or a man-made emergency. But it also can serve another purpose around population health and giving information about how the patients are responding to a medication or what they're suffering from in a local community. Now, this particular picture includes a patient portal on the far left. It talks about at HIEs. It talks about clinical intelligence. It talks about nursing homes, talks about labs and medications. And it really kind of shows all of it coming together. And I think that's really important for us to really appreciate that this truly is an ecosystem that patient health information is going to become an important data source into. It won't be the only data source, but it will become an important data source. And I would, in terms of thinking about how this can apply to us, for the public health and healthcare professional, pH type data will become a strong data source for you to do your research, do your analytics, do your trending, and that data source is going to be from your local community. It will be de-identified and desensitized as necessary, but that will become another important data source for us to use. For patients, this is going to be an interesting thing to think about and consider. I'm certain everyone here has a credit score, be it good or bad, but we're now going to spend the time to look at using this data to create a health score. If you had your own health credit score, same concept as we do now for commercial transactions, but if you have your own health score, we can now get that, because now you can get trending and your own history and your own health and then measure it with peers in your local community and measure it with peers who are diagnosed in the same population set as you. Now, what's helpful in that is that it gives a chance for the patient to become a bit more accountable for their care. Senator Tom Daschle talked about it yesterday, that patient accountability is going to be important, and we're all going to have to become accountable for our care. And I'm very curious of what the ramifications are going to be if we're not accountable. But in terms of the reality is we are going to become accountable. And so although it's not here today, in the future, we will get to having a scoring mechanism for your health. And people that do well are going to be rewarded. People that don't do well are probably going to not be rewarded. But I think that's going to be a reality of us in terms of how this data can be used in the future from what is going on now. And the last thing I'll leave you with on this slide is if you all can go back to 1996 when the internet was first introduced for commercial purposes, only 15 years ago. But I'm pretty certain in 1996 we didn't think we would use the internet in the way we're using the internet today. And that was only 15 years ago. And I ask you to think that way in terms of patient health information. Don't look at it in terms of what we do today and how it could be used today. Think about what it might be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, once we have nationwide adoption of using a PHI. Getting back to that bottle of water, everyone drinks bottled water. Getting back to everyone has an ATM debit card. Same kind of concept here. There's nothing going to be different because our healthcare system is going this direction. Personal health information and everyday technology tools. The one thing I want to leave you guys with here is if you think of PHI, some people say, well, gracious, I don't want to enter data myself. I'm fat finger data. I'm not good at it. I don't want to do it. That would be great. That's true. A lot of people are not good at doing that. But there's a couple of methods of getting data into systems. Right? There can be manual methods, putting into your notepad or your smartphone, or you can go online through patient health records, or if you're a veteran, you got the blue button, which you can get your patient information. But in terms of automated methods, there is an enormous number of medical devices that are home medical devices that will allow you to automatically take your patient health information, and if you're Bluetooth enabled and have a Wi-Fi connection, that information will get loaded into your PHR. And you're like, wow, we're really getting up there in terms of how we do this stuff. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's coming. And so in terms of blood pressure cuffs, in terms of your pedometers, your weight scales, your glucose reading machines, they will be Bluetooth enabled, and they will have an opportunity to connect data to your PHR. Now, what this is all leading to is something that this particular topic is not intended to cover, but I will give you a little preview of it. It's around virtual care. And virtual care is where this nation is going to go with an aspect of our health delivery system. One of them is around providing health delivery to a patient anytime, anywhere. And I want you guys to think about it in terms of kind of a clinical portal or a clinical kiosk where you might be in a position to interact with a doctor or medical professional, and you're truly in a remote location from where they are, but you're using a telehealth capability, and they're able to see you, interact with you, and talk with you just like they're sitting in front of you. But they may be millions of miles from you, or they could be hundreds of miles from you. But this is a new way of working, a new way of thinking that models are being developed now, and PHI will be an essential component to that and be a data point that goes into that method. So as you think about it, I put on here clinical portals, clinical kiosks, cable, satellite TV, and mobile devices. And the first thing that comes up, people say, well, what do you mean by cable and satellite TV? Well, Comcast, Charter, and Cox are all thinking about ways to do medical pay-per-view. Wow, medical pay-per-view? Well, we have televisions now that have cameras in them, like our webcams and our laptop. There are TVs now being built with integrated cameras. And we can do pay-per-view for a movie. We can do pay-per-view for human interaction as well. So those models are already being discussed or underway, and new ways of how we can apply them to the general public are being discussed. So I just really encourage you guys, if you think about patient health information, I'll kind of snag the thing I heard yesterday from about Nelson Mandela's words. One of his quotes was, it's only impossible until it's done. You know, it's kind of, don't think about patient health information in terms of traditional ways or some of the barriers that we may have thought about using it. Yes, there are some critics out there who will say the PHI information is not dependable, it's not clinical quality. That's agreed, and we all understand that. But there's going to be an adoption of PHI information, and it'll be used in ways where we generate credit scores, we generate new ways of public and population health analytics and trends. We can use it for our disaster support for individuals that are suffer from a disaster or displaced because of a disaster or a health emergency. And we're going to use it for care coordination, for medication tracking and monitoring. Those methods are some things that we're going to be using PHI for. And it's going to become prevalent throughout our technology devices and tools we use. It'll become something that will become second nature to us. So with that, I'll leave with one kind of a quote here. It's actually from Gartner, their prediction. Not my prediction, this is what they said. Gartner predicts that within 5 years, mobile health monitoring will have widespread adoption within the United States. Their prediction around the world is 10 years of widespread adoption, but U.S. 5 years, primarily due to the Health Care Reform Act and the infusion that that's putting into health care reform and the use of mobile health monitoring and patient health records. The other thing that's kind of interesting in here is that their prediction is home health monitoring using IT and telecommunications or telehealth services will also have widespread adoption within 5 years. What's kind of interesting, I don't know if you guys are aware of Meaningful Use Stage 3. There's already some viewing of what Stage 3 might look like, and some of that's already suggesting telehealth as a component of the capability for our nation's healthcare reform. And then finally, for a 10-year prediction, we have clinical kiosks, which is, you know, us going into a physical facility and having interaction with a video screen, and on the other side of that video screen are the healthcare professionals providing you the service. And they'll use your PHI information. You might pull it out of like an ATM card, pop it in. You'll have data on there, information on there. They're able to interact with you and talk with you, communicate with you, and provide you that healthcare need that you need. Those things are going to be methods that this country is going to use to deal with some of the healthcare issues we have and infrastructure capacity issues we have. We're just running out of doctors, running out of hospitals, running out of infrastructure. So there's going to be new methods that's going to be embraced to give us that extra capacity. So with that, I know we have some CME learning credits. I'm going to give you some takeaways. The first thing is around healthcare reform, and Senator Tom Daschle talked about it yesterday. It's here to stay, and our collective goal and responsibility to improve patient health outcomes and lower healthcare costs is real. I want you to really think through two of the things I highlighted here. One is around HIT. Which is around sharing clinical health data and patient health information. That's going to be a very important part of our new healthcare system. Second thing is patient-centered care and care coordination across the care settings. That's going to be a very important thing for us as well. That will become one of the new mainstays in our healthcare delivery model, and the data that they're going to be sharing will be clinical data as well as patient health information. Second takeaway is that technology and broadband advancements in our local metropolitan communities, our local communities, as well as in rural communities, will encourage and fuel the evolution to a virtual care society. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to log in and be a virtual care person, but it does give us the capability to do that. And then the third takeaway is patient health information will become the new norm, and it will be used as an additional data source by our providers. Family caregivers and patients will enter PHI through manual and automated methods. And one thing I want to really talk about this a bit, when we talked about patient health information, there was a big concern that certain people in our society just don't use technology. Either they are elderly, they're older, their vision may not allow them to use the tool, all the barriers of why they can't use it. And we say, that's great. But there's usually someone in that person's life, family caregiver, loved one, friend, neighbor, that does use technology and can do it. And so what we began to see and do is don't allow the concern that someone's not technology savvy or literate to be a barrier to using PHI for that particular person. And we're starting to see in many situations that it's the grandchild, it's the daughter, it's the son that are providing that care for that loved one or that family member, and they are the ones that technology savvy and rich. So when we did the survey, it was kind of interesting to see that a lot of the respondees that were willing to put patient health information in, many cases came from the loved one, not the patient themselves. So the loved ones are more concerned about how that person's doing, how they're tracking against taking their meds, how are they responding to the medications, what the doctor is changing in terms of the care plan. The loved ones want to know. The patient obviously knows because the doctor's telling them, but the patient may decide not to share all of that. Now, we all have privacy and data concerns, and this is not trying to erode any of that, and it won't erode any of that. In any situation where you have patient health information, you still have to get consent from the actual patient to share that data with family, loved ones, and so forth. So, but I just want to share that is don't allow the kind of the rumor that this technology can't go across to everyone because of barriers that really don't exist. So thank you very, very much. I appreciate your time today. I'm glad to be here with you, and we're going to turn it over to our next speaker.